my voice. So hopefully it will last the entire morning. If not, we get to go home early. I knew I'd get at least one person to say amen. Everybody else was thinking it, but Mr. Islett will say it. So Genesis chapter 29. Brother Mark will be preaching for me tonight. So preaching for us tonight. So I think we'll make it through this morning. Genesis chapter 29, as we've been looking at the story about this man, Jacob, we've learned some things about him. And the title of this morning's sermon is, You Cannot Fool God, or You Can't Fool God. And a lot of times people are living their lives and they're being deceitful and they think they're getting away with things, but the truth is, you can't fool God. There's a verse in the Bible that I think teaches us this in a great way. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's what you're going to see a little bit in the story as it begins today. The trickster, which is who Jacob is, the supplanter, those different things. He tricked Jacob, tricked Esau, then he tricked his father. He's going to actually begin to reap a harvest of evil doing. And this principle about reaping and sowing is found throughout all areas of life. If you sow corn, you reap corn. If you sow cotton, you reap cotton. If you sow wheat, you reap wheat. If you sow tares, you reap tares. Even through the Bible, these examples show. Think about Pharaoh, what he did about killing all those Jewish boys. And in the end, because he would not repent, because he would not let Israel go, he lost his own son. You think about the story of Ahab by false accusations, had Naboth slain. And the dogs licked up Naboth's blood. But the prophet Elijah told Ahab that the same dogs that licked up the blood of Naboth were going to lick up the blood of Ahab. And this literally was fulfilled. David himself, in the story, he commits murder and adultery. And then later on, you see him reaping those things that he has sown by seeing his son killed and also the baby he lost and also many different sexual problems inside his family. You think about the story of how Saul had consented to the stoning of Stephen, and later on in his life, Paul himself was taken outside the city of Lystra and was stoned to death. Jacob is a classic illustration. And we're not only going to look in Genesis 29, we're going to look a little bit later down in his life just to try to prove this point. Jacob was a person that lived by his own wits. He was even cocky and clever. He had practiced deceit over and over. And now he had met somebody that was a little bit trickier, his soon-to-be father-in-law. He reaped what he had sown in many areas of his life, and Laban kind of teaches Jacob a lesson. Yes, you can be deceitful, you can trick people, but it's going to come back to haunt you later on. Here in Genesis chapter 29, we're going to read the story of verses 20 through 31. It talks about Jacob getting married. He ended up getting married to the wrong woman. Can you imagine that? Getting married to the wrong lady? And you'll see how it kind of transpires here. Jacob chapter 29, verse number 20. We preached the last time we talked in the book of Genesis. We talked about how much Jacob loved Rachel. Jacob was willing to work for 7 years for Rachel. And in verse number 20, it says, And Jacob served 7 years. So he fulfills the agreement. Laban, his soon-to-be father-in-law, said, Look, you worked for me for 7 years. You can have my daughter Rachel. He served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And we talked about that, that if it's really, truly an act of love, a labor of love, it will not seem like it's work, but instead you're laboring for the one that you love. Verse 21 said, And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife. So he makes a demand. 7 years are up. He wants Laban to fulfill his obligation. For my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban, which is traditional back there in this culture and back in the Middle Eastern culture of that day, Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And that's their celebration. And it came to pass in the evening. Now, this verse here is maybe a little hard to understand how this could happen. But back in that culture, in that day and time, the bride would be veiled, actually heavily veiled, to the point you would not see that girl that entire day. And this is what, and it says, and it came to pass in the evening. Did it mean that Rachel was there at one point in time, or if Leah had been there? Don't really now know that he took Leah, his daughter. Remember, this is Rachel's sister. This is the one that was called tender-eyed, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. So he took Leah, once again still being heavily veiled, took her into a place inside the room or the house or wherever. Remember, there's not electricity back there in that day. Leads to a dark place. And it says, Jacob goes in unto her, which means he consummates the marriage. Verse number 24, it says, and Laban gave unto his daughter of Leah, Zipla, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Now, could you imagine what it was like that in the morning? You wake up, you think you're married to one girl, you wake up, the next morning you roll over and you see it's somebody different. Boy, that, can you imagine what that morning in that room, Jacob probably jumped out of bed and says, what are you doing there? And it's just, can you imagine what it was like in Laban's house when Jacob got to Laban's house and said, you know, what happened? This is not what we agreed on. This is not what we talked about. This was not supposed to happen. I'm wondering that when Laban begins to explain to him why this happens and why he tricked him, if maybe it started coming back to him, the way he tricked his own father earlier. But we'll get to that in a little while. It says here in verse number 25, he goes to Laban and he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Now he's saying that the firstborn has certain birthrights and certain privileges, and that he was not going to give that ahead of Leah. And we'll get back to that in a second. Fulfill her week. He says, okay, look, just go celebrate her with this week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou hast served with me yet 7 other years. And he's saying, look, if you go, you fulfill the week, be happily married to her. If you serve 7 more years, we'll give you Rachel. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. Verse 29, and Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him 7 other years. There's some things that we're going to look at from this passage of Scripture a little bit later on in the book of Genesis. And what we're going to mainly do today is to see how Jacob reaped what he sowed. And you're going to see how Jacob before was deceitful and how this comes back to haunt him later on in life. And then we're going to look at maybe some questions. What are we reap? What are we sowing towards? And what are we trying to reap with our lives? And that hopefully will help us understand we really can't fool God. If we are saying that later on, I want to live a Christian life, I want to know the Bible, I want to have win people to Christ, are we sowing that way? And someday we're going to reap that because we can't fool God. I think we would all like to be more knowledgeable about the Bible. But are we sowing the seeds of reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible? Because how can we expect to reap later on if we're not sowing those seeds today? Maybe we like to say, I like to have a great marriage. But are we sowing the seeds of loving our husbands and loving our wives and submitting to our husbands? I like to have children that want to serve God and live for God. Are we sowing seeds that way? Or maybe you might say, I like to see more people come to knowledge of Jesus Christ. I like to win people to Christ. Are we sowing seeds that way? See, Jacob here, he sowed some seeds of deceitfulness. And it's coming back to haunt him a little bit because he's been tricked. And we're going to see here in this passage of Scripture at least 3 different things that he kind of reaped what he sowed. And then this story, I'd like for you to think about, what am I sowing towards? And what can I expect to reap? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning. Lord, I pray you help us today. Lord, I pray you help my voice, that you keep it strong at least for a little while longer. Lord, I pray that you help the classes that are going on in the back. But Lord, I pray you help us to focus and get this idea in our minds that we reap what we sow and that we are sowing, that we make sure that we are sowing the right things. In Jesus' name, amen. 3 things I want you to see here in this passage. First, I want you to see here back in verse number 23, Laban takes and switches Leah out, and then he says his reason for this was because of the fact that he was not, in verse 26, it says, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. What does that mean to you? It reminds me of a story. You think about it. Isaac wanted to give his birthright. He wanted to give his blessing to who? He wanted to give it to Esau. Why? Because Esau was the firstborn. And we remember the story. And once again, if you've been here the last few months, you will remember the stories that Jacob and his mother connived together and they were deceitful together. They went out and killed some kids of goats and they put the fur on his arms and he went in there and they even put on raiment that would make him smell like Esau. And they tricked their blind old father into giving the blessing to the younger one. So you say, Pastor, how is he reaping what he sowed? See, way back when, Jacob was the deceiver. He was the one being deceitful. And now what do you see it playing out later on in his life? You see now, Jacob is the one being taken advantage of. You see now, Jacob is being told by Laban, hey, look, you cannot take away the firstborn's rights. It was Leah's right to be married first. I don't know if maybe Leah loved Jacob secretly. I don't know, maybe he tried to get her married in those 7 years and just could never get her married and wanted to give her to Jacob. Just that way that he knew Jacob was going to work for another 7 years. But he reaped what he sowed. He did not get what he wanted. Instead, he got the wrong girl. So we see he reaped something that he sowed because earlier in his life he was being deceitful and tried to deceive his father. There's also another thing I want you to see here in verse number 28. Verse 28, Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, the daughter, to wife also. See, there's a problem here in verse 28. Jacob really still wants Rachel. He doesn't want Leah. He wants Rachel really bad. And Laban sees this, and Laban knows this, and Laban concocts this story up. And he says, okay, we'll give you Leah, so that way he'll work 7 more years for me. See, he takes advantage of someone who wants something really bad. Jacob now is the one that wants something really bad. He wants Rachel really bad. He's willing to work 7 years, which is an enormous price for a girl or a woman in that day and time period. Now he's willing to work another 7 years, and he's taken advantage of a person that wants something really bad. If you remember in the story, did Jacob ever take advantage of someone who wanted something really bad? You think about the story, Esau. Esau's out, he's been hunting all day, he's working all day. He comes into the house, or comes into the tent, excuse me, and he smells this porridge or this pottage, and he says, give me some of that red soup. And Jacob there sees Esau, sees that Esau wants it really bad, and he says, look, if you want this soup, all you gotta do is give me your birthright. His birthright is worth probably millions of dollars, at least in today's day in terminology. That bowl of soup is probably worth maybe 50 cents or a dollar in that day and time. He knew Esau really wanted it, so he took advantage of Esau and he made the deal. He said, well, Pastor, what's the big deal? See, it's coming back. Laban's taking advantage of him just the same way that Jacob had taken advantage of him earlier. You continue on here. Another third thing I want you to think about here, where you see that he is reaping what he's sown. It says in verse number 30, he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him 7 other years. See, Jacob didn't learn something from his mother and father. His mother and father taught him when you have favorites, there is a problem. And any time that you show favoritism inside your families, there is going to be issues. If you have some type of favorite child, or you mistreat a child, or you treat another one better, it's always going to cause problems. You're sowing seeds of discord there, and someday you're going to reap problems. See, in this story, it says that Jacob loves Rachel. He kind of puts Leah off to the side. The rest of this chapter begins to describe, actually the next chapter begins to describe Jacob having children through Leah. Then through Rachel's handmaid, then Leah's handmaid. And it wasn't until many years later that Rachel finally had the opportunity of having a child. Most of us would know that child's name by being named Joseph. And later on, we'll learn a little bit about Joseph, but I want you to see how he reaped things he has sowed because of showing favoritism here. Joseph, even though he was number 11's son, received a coat of many colors. And Jacob loved Joseph more than the rest of the boys. He showed privilege to the Joseph. He gave Joseph that coat of many colors. And what happens in that story? Joseph goes and his dad sends him off to find his brothers while they're out taking care of the sheep. The brothers see him. The brothers hate Joseph in the first place because Joseph had had dreams saying that he was going to be their ruler someday. Most of us would just dismiss that off as being the little brother. But no, not these boys, because they have lived their lives knowing that the father loved this boy more than the rest of them. They hated him. And most of us would know the story that what did they do with him? They talked about killing him. Instead, they threw him in the pit. And as they threw him in the pit, there's people who were coming, I think it was Midianites that were coming to Egypt, and they took him out of the pit. They sold him to the Midianites. Then what did they do? Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and see in Genesis chapter 37. They're going to have to go home and tell their father something. And Genesis chapter number 37, we're going to just look at verses 31 through 34. We have the boys there have just sold their younger brother Joseph into slavery, and now they have to tell their father something. In verse 31 it says, "And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood." Verse 32, "And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, 'This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no.'" So these boys, the Reubens, the Judas, the Issachars, they take a kid goat that they were watching, and they slay it, and they take this coat of many colors that Jacob had given to Joseph, and they dip it in the blood, and then they go home and they show it to Jacob and say, "Jacob, we found this on our way home. Is this Joseph's coat?" They're lying to him. They're deceiving him. And you continue on in verse number 33. It says, "And he knew it and said, 'It is my son's coat. And evil beasts have devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces.'" Look what it says in verse 34. "And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days." Now, I wanted to go back. Remember back when Jacob was tricking his father, what did they go out and kill? They went out and killed a kid of a goat. The same thing that his boys use. The same deceitfulness that his boys had showed to his father is the same thing that Jacob had done many years earlier, using an animal. Now, I know Jacob used the skins of the animal, didn't use the blood. But they used the blood of an animal, the same type of animal, to deceive Jacob. And you see, he paid a very hard price. It says he rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. Now, for many years, most of us know the story, and when we get to this in Genesis, we'll hear it all once again, how Joseph became the ruler in Egypt, and how later on Jacob found out that Joseph was not dead, and Joseph was alive, and Joseph was doing all these things in Egypt. But for many years he was without Joseph because of the favoritism he showed. You remember this? It reminds us of what happened to Rebecca. Rebecca had connived and tricked and caused Jacob to go in to the father and deceive them. And what did Rebecca have to do with Jacob? Had to send him away. It was Rebecca's favorite, but Rebecca never ever saw Jacob again. I believe that for those many years before Rebecca passed away, she was mourning the fact that she could not see her favorite son. Say, "Pastor, what are you getting at?" These are just examples that we pay a steep price for being deceitful. It doesn't stop there. As you continue to considering in our lives, what is it when we consider how Jacob was willing to be deceitful, how Jacob was willing to take advantage of Esau, and how Jacob was willing to play favorites, how God took those things he sowed in his own life, and later on he reaped the exact same things to even a greater amount. Now, he spent many years with that favorite child. He spent many years without seeing the mother he loved. And I guess when I read this story and I think of this story and I think of Jacob and how he thought he was getting away with everything, if you would have read up to this point in time, you would think, okay, Jacob got the birthright. He was the younger son. He got the birthright. He got the blessing. He had all this money. He was going to marry the woman that he loved. Everything was going good. I guess he fooled God. I guess it wasn't a big deal that he sinned. I guess it wasn't a big deal. He didn't really care. I guess it wasn't a big deal who he tricked and who he hurt. It didn't really matter. And we see later on what happened. All those things did matter. And in the end, they came back and he reaped what he sowed. This morning, I'd just like to think for just a few minutes. What are we sowing towards? What is it that we're doing in our lives that we think that we're getting away from, getting away with, and we think that no one has ever found out or no one ever will find out? You see back there on the verse, not only do we talk about be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But we also see in the book of Numbers, it tells us a famous little saying, be sure your sin will find you out. See, the Bible teaches us something, and it helps us to understand when we get to this realization, we cannot fool God. There's people out there who think they can fool him. There are people out there who think they can do certain things and God just doesn't care. And in this story, you see what happens to Jacob. He ends up paying for the things he had done earlier in his life. And this is a principle that we must learn and must realize or grab a hold of. What am I sowing towards today? In Galatians chapter number 6, not only does it say, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But the next verse says these things. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is the principle here. This is not just a negative thing. Jacob, yes, he sowed seeds of discord by being deceitful, by being showing favoritism, by mistreating people. But we can sow seeds of righteousness. We can sow good seeds. We can do things that will cause good things to reap. Like I said, you can sow the seeds of corn. What are you going to reap? You're going to reap corn. If we sow seeds of righteousness, if we sow the seeds of the things that we know we're supposed to do, then we're going to reap a life. The Bible says everlasting life. We're going to reap a life that we're going to be able to be pleased with and satisfied with. The Bible says, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So we come to the point. What are we sowing towards today? If I remember when we were going through Galatians last year, we looked at different things we want to become like and what we want to do. And we think about, if I want to be a student of the Bible, am I sowing that way? Am I actually opening up my Bible? Am I reading it? Am I memorizing it? Am I listening to Bible preaching? If I want to win souls, am I telling somebody else about Jesus Christ? If I want to be the right child, am I being obedient to my parents? Because that's the Bible says, this is what we need to do. This is the things we should be doing. If I want to be a faithful church member, am I showing up for church? There's a long list of things that we got to say, what is my goal? What does God want me to do with my life? And am I sowing that way? Because you can't fool God, but there is someone you can fool. You can fool yourself. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean that if you're going to go out and say, hey, I want to be a student of the Word of God, I want to learn the Bible, you are fooling yourself if you don't open up the Word of God and read it. You're not going to learn it by it just sitting on the shelf, by it just covering dust. You say, hey, I want to be a right parent. I want to raise my children in the admonition of the Lord. And then we don't ever pray with them. We don't ever read our Bibles with them. We don't ever bring them to church. We don't ever do these things. You're fooling yourself if you believe that you can sow seeds of being unfaithful and sow seeds of not concerning yourself with the things of God and think that you're going to raise godly children. You're fooling yourself. We are fooling ourselves if we think that we want to be financially secure and financially get God's blessing if we don't give like we're supposed to give. Here's three things you can't fool God with. Number one is, you can't fool God when it comes to obedience. You can't fool God when it comes to obedience. You know, there's a story that is about Jericho. When God told when Joshua went and fought the battle of Jericho, he told them all, don't touch the stuff. And he says, look, when you win that battle, there's going to be plenty of stuff. There's going to be plenty of spoils. Plenty of booty that you're going to be able to take the spoils of the treasures of Jericho. He says, that's all God's. Don't touch any of it. And what does Achan do? Achan fools everybody. He goes and takes these things and he hides them underneath his tent. He thinks he's fooled everyone. He's even fooled himself to believing that's okay. But what happens? He reaps what he sows. Now, Christian, don't get me wrong. I think outwardly we should look right. I think outwardly we should be doing the things that are right. But don't think that you're fooling God if you have a heart of disobedience just because you dress right or just because you show up to church when you think you're supposed to. The Bible says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Don't fool yourself that you think you're fooling God when you're being obedient, when you're not doing things you know you're supposed to do. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean that there's so many of us that are playing Christianity and playing our Christian lives thinking, oh, God must be pleased with me, when there's things that we know we should be doing that we choose not to do just because we don't want to. We think that we're fooling everyone else. We think we're fooling our husbands and our wives and our children. We think we're fooling the pastor and the rest of the church members. We think we're fooling the people at work. But there is one person you will not fool, and that is God. And you will reap what you sow. Another thing I want you to think about, you can't fool God when it comes to salvation. You can't fool God when it comes to salvation. You know, there's a lot of people today that have fooled themselves into believing that they're on their way to heaven because of some other reason than Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people today that have fooled themselves into believing that they're on their way to heaven than any other reason than Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is thousands, maybe millions of people that are caught up in serving a God, believing it's going to help them to get to heaven someday. You know, you think about what it said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. It says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He's saying that when the people stand before God and God does not find their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, when they have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're going to say, hey, we did this and we did this and we did this all in your name. He says, look, I never knew you. If you're trusting in anything else besides Jesus Christ and his shed blood for salvation, you fooled yourself into believing you're going to heaven someday. I've heard plenty of reasons. I've heard plenty of stories. I heard people say, hey, I was born into a Christian family. My mother, my father, they were servants of God. My grandfather was a preacher. I've heard all types of things. That will not save you. The only thing that will save you is by you personally entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ and believing and trusting in what he did for you on the cross. You cannot fool God. You might be able to fool every other person in the world that you're a Christian and on your way to heaven. But when you stand before God, can you give him a reason, a Bible reason, why he should let you into heaven? And the only biblical reason you can give him is, I put my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Don't fool yourself. Don't let the devil fool yourself that you're okay. It just isn't true. I've heard stories of people say, hey, I live a good life. Hey, I give. Hey, I done this and I done that. It's only through Jesus Christ and no one else can you get to heaven. Don't fool yourself. You can't fool God when it comes to souls also. You know, when we talk about Christianity, we sing songs, we have missions conferences, we preach about wanting to tell other people about Jesus Christ. And some people can say they have a burden for others. But you can't fool God. And the Bible says, he which sow sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sow bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So not only is the principle here, you're going to reap what you sow, but the Bible says that you can sow bountifully, and then you're going to reap bountifully also. That's why I'm glad they left the flags up this week. I know we're still taking the Faith Promise cards, but are we really truly sowing bountifully when it comes to souls? This is what God loves, is the souls of men. That's why he gave his son on the cross to die for our sins. And he wants us to care. He wants us to love. And that's when Apostle Paul says, I speak this to your shame. When he's talking about people who did not know Christ and the knowledge of Christ, he says, I speak this to your shame. It's a high time that we wake up and say, you know what? I want to care about souls. You say, Pastor, why do we go to Potato Festival, hand out tracts? It's because we're trying to sow bountifully. Why do we go knock on doors when people probably in this day and age don't really like to open up doors and hear about church or hear about God? Why do we do that? What we're trying to do is we're trying to sow bountifully because we want to reap bountifully. Why do we try to call people and try to follow up on people? And why do we try? It's because we're trying to sow. Why do I, when I'm losing my voice, preach a message? It's because I'm trying to sow bountifully. I want God to do everything he can. Why are we here when maybe we don't feel the best? Or why are we doing the things and go above board? Why would we want to give more to Faith Promise? Or why would we want to give more to the church? Or why do we want to hand out tracts other places? Well, why do we want to read more of our Bible? And why do we want to do this and do that? It's because we're trying to sow bountifully. Why? So someday we can reap bountifully. But you can't fool God. He knows those that are sowing sparingly. He knows those that are sowing bountifully. And that's when we see this principle, be not deceived. God is not mocked. It's saying, you can't fool God. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. And this morning, I don't know where you're at spiritually. I know that most of you look great on the outside. Most of you are here faithful and serving God, but what are we sowing to? What are we sowing to with our resources? What are we sowing to with our time? What are we sowing to with our talents? What are we sowing towards when it comes to the days of our lives? Are we really going to reap what we desire by what we're sowing today? So go back to this question. What are you sowing towards? You know, when I was at 18, I guess it was 17, I was a senior in high school, and a guy that was a stock market guy or whatever, he came to our school and said, look, if you will put $50 a week, $50 a month away every month until when you turn 35, he says, you'll be a millionaire. And I don't know if it was true or not, but he says, 17, about, I was in May, and he says, look, if you just will learn to be faithful, putting $50 away into an IRA or some type of stock market thing or not, whether it would come true or not, I don't know because I didn't do it. Do I wish I would have done it? Yeah, it'd be nice to be a millionaire, but I'm not. But $50 a month away for every month up until the time you turn 35, by that point in time, he says, you could be a millionaire because you invested towards it. And you know, everybody thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Everybody thought, maybe we should do that. Probably nobody did that. But, you know, since I didn't put a dime in that account with that guy, when I turned 35, I couldn't call that guy up on the phone and say, hey, where's my $1 million? And he says, you haven't given me any money. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? What God is saying, look, I have promises and blessings I'm offering to you. He says, but you have to learn to sow to these things. You have to learn to be willing to do your part so I can bless you, so you can reap these things. But I don't know why we think that we're going to bring people to Christ when we do not tell people about Jesus Christ. I don't know why we think we're going to be students of the Word of God and understand the Bible when we don't read it and when we don't memorize it. I don't know why we think that God is going to be pleased with us and we're going to grow in fellowship and we're going to become like Christ and be faithful to His church house when we don't even show up. I don't know why we think that God's going to bless our relationships and encourage us and give us influence when we don't forgive and we treat others the way He would not want us to treat them. How are we sowing people today? I mean, what are we sowing for? I know as I began thinking, you know, what are things I'd like to do? 20 years from now, what would I like to see? I'd like to know more about the Bible. 20 years from now, I like to think that, who knows, I might even have grandkids, but I like to have my kids serving the Lord, whether being full-time or just in whatever God would want them to do. But I want to see them love the Lord. I want to see them grow in the Lord. I want to see that me and my wife's relationship has gotten better and stronger. I want to see I have a greater love for God. I want to see that our church, and yes, if the Lord allow me to, I like to stay here that long, our church to grow spiritually. Numerically be nice, more important spiritually. And then I begin asking my questions, am I taking things and am I sowing seeds that way? Am I sowing seeds to help my children to want to grow and love the Lord? Am I sowing seeds that's going to help my wife and I grow closer together? Am I sowing seeds to be able to help my love to be strengthened in the Word of God? Am I sowing seeds to see people saved? Am I sowing seeds to learn more of Him and His Word? Because many of us have fooled ourselves into saying, well, I can live whatever way I want, but someday I'm going to know more about the Bible, and someday my marriage is going to be great, and someday my kids are going to live for God, when we're not sowing any seeds towards that. Think about the story of Jacob. He thought he got away with it. He's in Uncle Laban's farm, got the cute girl that he thinks is going to marry, and he's going to be all happy, and everything's good. He's going to go back home. He's going to have this great land. He's going to have all this money, this wonderful inheritance. But what ends up, he learns a hard lesson. He reaped what he sowed. What are you sowing towards today? I agree, we should all have dreams and aspirations of what God might want for us. But are we sowing seeds to reap that someday? If not, let's change that. One last thought. If you're here this morning and you're not sure if you would die today that you would go to heaven, don't fool yourself in thinking you're okay. God tells us in His Word there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And this morning, many people think just because what the family they're born into, or the country they live into, or the fact that they go to a church or even a member of a church will get them to heaven. And the Bible says that's not true. Stop fooling yourself. If you truly want to go to heaven, you must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet.